I'm gonna have a seat. Morning. Do you hear that? That's nothing. No, it's nothing. Which is what I have for you this morning. All I have is nothing. Nada, zip, zilch, zippo. Nothing smart, nothing inspirational, nothing even remotely researched at all. I have absolutely nothing to say whatsoever. And yet, through my manner of speaking, I'm going to make it seem like I do. Like what I'm about to say is absolutely brilliant. And maybe, just maybe, you'll feel like you learned something. Now I'm going to get started with my opening. I'm going to make a lot of hand gestures, and I'm going to do this with my right hand. I'm going to do this with my left hand. Then I'm going to adjust my glasses. And then I'm going to ask you all a question. By show of hands, how many of you have ever been asked a question before? Okay, good, a few of you. All right, okay. And again, I have nothing here. All right, I'm going to react to that, and I'm going to act like I'm telling you a personal anecdote, you know, something to kind of break the tension here, something to endear myself a little bit, something maybe even a little embarrassing. You know, like that time that I took my daughter to school in her pajamas and left her there. Yeah, that actually happened. And now I'm going to bring it to a broader point. I'm going to bring it to a picture of a man coming up here, right here, in a second. There we go, this guy right here. Now, what this man did, I'm sure it was important, but I, for one, have no idea who he is. I simply Googled the word scientist, and this is what we got. I'd like to seem like I'm making points here, building an argument, maybe even inspiring you to change your life, when in reality, I'm just biding time. Now, if you don't believe me, let's take a look at the numbers. This is a real thing. This is happening right now. All right? If we can get the numbers up here, the number of talks that I'm giving right now, that's going to be, in a second, one. That's the number of talks I'm giving right now. The number of interesting facts and parts thus far in this message, that's going to be zero. My height in inches is 74.5. Now, I want you to note the 0.5 there, okay? 2 times 6 equals 12. And then, interestingly enough, 6 times 2, that also equals 12. That's math. 352. That's a three-digit number. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then almost immediately following that, we get 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now let me add some more filler for you here. I'm going to give you a few more numbers to consider. 18. 230. 5,600. Oh, I missed one. 7. Now 5,600. 2.6 million. 424. It's staggering, isn't it? These are all real numbers, all of them. And to follow that up, let's take a look at some graphs. Now, if you look at this pie chart here, you're going to notice that the majority far exceeds the minority. See that? Everybody see that? Cool, isn't it? Let's take a look at this bar graph because that has similar irrelevant data. Now I'm going to do this because I'm going to make it seem like I'm making a point. I'm prepared for the message today. And if you were to, say, maybe be watching this on Facebook or watch it on YouTube later on with the sound off, you might be sitting there thinking, huh, this guy knows what he's talking about. But I don't. I've really said nothing. I've got a stage and a microphone and I'm using it. Now if you look behind me, these are vaguely thought-provoking stock photos. Right? I'm going to point at them and make it look like I'm making both good use of my time and your time. But in reality, I just Googled interesting images and now we're looking at them. And you see this next one here? That one's really interesting. Really interesting. And all of this seems like it might make sense. Like maybe, just maybe, I'm building to some sort of satisfying conclusion. I'm pacing, right? You know, I'm growing in intensity, and I'm going to slow things down a little bit now, and I'm going to kind of change the tone. I'm going to make it seem like I'm building to a point again, and what if I was? Amazing, isn't it? What can you do? Life's a roller coaster, you know? If there's one thing that I want you to take away from what I just said, I'd like you to think about what you heard at the beginning, and then I'd like you to think about what you hear now. Because it was nothing, and it still is nothing. Think about that. Or don't, that's fine. And now I'm going to make my actual point. On just about every single social media platform, you'll find either some type of televangelist prosperity gospel teaching or a self-proclaimed authority on God's word. And they seemingly know what they're talking about. But in reality, my opening makes more sense than anything they have to say. They capture the mind with their seemingly wise and godly words, and they're well put together and somewhat biblical ideologies. They're just close enough to the truth of the Word of God that many believers are led astray. They don't even question it. They preach a whole sermon, if you want to call it that, without saying anything of benefit. Now, I wanted to make it completely obvious. I hope I did. And what I was doing in the opening of my message, many of you had different reactions. I really can't see you, but I would imagine some of you caught on either quickly and were a little annoyed, or maybe you found it amusing. I thought it was kind of funny. but today we're going to be in the book of Jude, in my opinion, a rarely and underutilized book. And while you're finding your way to Jude, it's in the New Testament. Allow me to share this with you. Terrorism has always existed in various forms, from political assassinations to high-profile kidnappings to guerrilla warfare. History is full of men who have tried to enact change through violent means. But on the watershed date of September 11th, 2001, terrorism reached a new level when mercenaries from the Al-Qaeda terrorist network hijacked four jetliners and they used them as missiles. The resulting destruction of the World Trade Center in New York City and the damage to the Pentagon, along with the crash of the fourth plane in rural Pennsylvania somewhere, killed more than 3,000 people and dealt a severe blow to the American economy, raising the threat of international terrorism to an unprecedented height. Do you remember that? In response, strict security precautions were put in place, especially for airline travel, model industries, high-profile public events. Prior to September 11th, the United States seemed blissfully immune to terrorist attack. But after the incredible collapse of the Twin Towers, Americans gained firsthand knowledge of terrorism's deadly tactics. In contrast to conventional warfare, terrorism presents a uniquely serious threat for two primary reasons. First, terrorists operate clandestinely. You know, they're relatively few in number. They remain hidden, and certainly they don't wear uniforms. Their plans stay secret until after they strike, making their attacks difficult to counteract. Secondly, terrorists are usually willing to die for their cause, often by suicide as they carry out their objectives. They're eager to sacrifice themselves for the sake of their mission. Therefore, the prospect of even the severest of human punishment, such as the death penalty, doesn't deter them. If they're to be thwarted, they must be unmasked and apprehended before they act. Otherwise, it'll be too late. The same features that make political terrorists so dangerous in the world make apostate teachers even more dangerous in the church. They come disguised as, you know, angels of light, you know, but they're sheep's in wolves' clothing. And because of their own self-deception, they willingly embrace their own eternal ruin for the sake of their false teaching. And destroying souls, they're committing spiritual suicide. And since it's important for freedom-loving nations to fight ideological terrorists, it's infinitely more crucial for believers to expose and reject spiritual terrorists. Jude realized the danger that false teachers pose to the divine truth. Jude 1, 5 through 7. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. Jude begins with a genuine desire to remind us of what's really important. And in fact, most of the time when things go wrong in our lives, it's not because we don't know what we're supposed to do. It's because we don't do what we're supposed to know. And he says, I want to remind you. George Santayana, American poet, philosopher, literary critic, said, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Such was certainly true of the false teachers in Jude's day. Here are a few examples from the past. The Exodus, the sin of spiritual infidelity, verse 5, though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. Do you remember the Exodus? If not, I'd encourage you to go back and read the book of Exodus. The Exodus is a vivid picture of redemption. It illustrated God's deliverance and his love for his people. But as beautiful as God's deliverance was, the Exodus is also a stern reminder of divine judgment, not just on the Egyptians, but also on God's people. God had told the people to claim the promised land, but instead, in Numbers 14, it shows us that they didn't believe God's promise, and the result was judgment. Numbers 14, 34 through 48, or 38. For 40 years, 1 year for each of the 40 days you explored the land, you will suffer for your sins and know what it is like to have me against you. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will surely do these things to this whole wicked community which is banded together against me. They will meet their end in this wilderness. Here they will die. Now, before we move on with this passage, I want to make a point, because by the end of this message, this passage and the implications for what it means for us today should be crystal clear. God sent all of those who he delivered out of Egypt in those fantastic and miraculous ways. He sent them all into the wilderness to die because they followed a twisted narrative rather than put their trust in God. Verse 36. So the men Moses had sent to explore the land, who returned and made the whole community grumble against him by spreading a bad report about it. These men who were responsible for spreading the bad report about the land were struck down and died of a plague before the Lord. Of the men who went to explore the land, only Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, survived. All right, next, let's talk about the angels, the sin of personal idolatry. It says, and the angels who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains, for judgment on the great day. Now, nobody knows for certain what this verse means. I mean, not even the experts. I mean, they act like they know, but they don't really know. There's three basic views here. First, it could be that Jude is just using this as his readers aren't familiar with this, and he's just using it as an illustration. Second, Jude referred to the fall of Satan and the third of the angels that went with him. Or third, it could be that Jude was referring to Genesis chapter 6. In chapter 6, he's referring to the fallen angels when he was referring to, when we hear about the sons of God. Now, what do I think? I'm really not sure. I think it's probably a combination of the second option and the third. Maybe more the third. I don't know. But I think that might make a great Bible study one day, but we definitely don't have time to get into it this morning in this setting. Genesis chapter 6 is kind of a mystery in the Bible. We don't really know what it means. What I do know, though, is the point that Jude is making is still valid. The angels rebelled because of personal idolatry. They rebelled against God and sought to be in control of their own lives. Let's talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, the sin of sexual immorality, verse 7. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. A third characteristic of false teachers is sexual immorality. Those who don't obey the Word of God, they don't come under the authority of the Word of God, and they're doomed to operate outside of the standard of God. Here, Jude is referring to Genesis 19, where you have these two angels in the form of two men who came to see Lot. But the men of the city surrounded Lot's house in the evening, and this is what they said to him. This is what it says, verse 4. Before they had gone to bed, all of the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them." In other words, their homosexual behavior and attempted fornication was especially deviant from the God-ordained design of human sexuality. These men of Sodom wanted to have sex, a sexual relationship with angels in the form of men. Let's talk about computers. Where do all these computer viruses come from, anyway? I mean, you can be on your computer, hard at work, you know, you can be at work, you can be playing games or doing research. You know, I'm on my computer a lot, preparing and doing research for my messages. And, you know, you might be on your computer and you might be playing a game or an email goes off or a page pops up and you click on that link. And then all of a sudden, your computer is telling you that it's infected with a terminal illness and it's going to hell in 60 seconds if you don't send $50 to this company XYZ, right? Computer viruses are a lot like false teachings about God and morality. They have the potential to destroy what's valuable. Where do all these false teachings come from? According to the Apostle Paul, many come from a group of malicious spirits called demons. They intentionally pump error into the world to deceive and destroy people, but especially Christians. These three illustrations, they reveal the characteristics of those who teach false doctrine. This is a sobering reminder of the fate that awaits them and a warning to believers to earnestly contend for the faith. Let's talk about the cause of false teachings in verses 8 through 10. In the very same way, on the strength of their dreams, these ungodly people pollute their own bodies. Or in some translations, it says flesh there. Reject authority and heap abuse on celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these people slander whatever they do not understand, and the very things they do understand by instinct, as irrational animals do, will destroy them. Now, sometimes these false teachers claim dreams as authoritative divine sources for their new truths, right? Which are really just lies and distortions. They say things like, "Well, God spoke to me in a dream." And it's always something that gives them some kind of personal gain or benefit. Maybe it's a new jet so they can go and they can spread the word of God farther and faster than they could before. I watched a video of a prosperity gospel preacher the other day, and he was telling a story about how he flew his private jet to go watch the Kentucky Derby, and he got to sit with the wife of the person who runs the Kentucky Derby, and everyone who saw his jet, they were just so amazed. Then I watched another video of the same guy. I guess that's what made me want to preach this message today. Same guy bragging to his congregation about how he was able to pay cash for his 40,000 square foot home. You heard me right, 40,000 square foot home. Where do you think the money for that came from? Yeah. And all these people are like, "Amen." And you can tell they were so impressed. Instead of being offended. And how he was out in his yard, you know, the next day, and he's out in his yard. I don't know what he was doing. He's certainly not raking his own lawn, but he's out there in his yard, and somebody came up on the other side of his private gate, and they tossed $5,000 in cash over to him. I want you to have that. I would imagine that if I watched the full video, he would have went on to tell the congregation about how God has just blessed him for being such a humble and loyal servant. I'm sure that's how that message went. But that's not the extent of their evil teachings. I could go on into the sexual nature of what they do, but I don't want to do that, not in here. But it's sick. In my human nature, I would seek God's justice on those people immediately. But God's ways are not our ways. They reject the Word of God and base their deceptive teachings on the misguided musings of their own deluded and demonized minds. They love depravity. They defile the flesh. The word literally means to pollute, sully, contaminate, soil. It's used here in a physical and moral sense. The word flesh here is speaking of literal flesh and thus suggesting the sin of sexual sin. Immorality is thus in view here. They reject authority. A true preacher of the gospel will always be willing to submit himself to a certain authority. The authority of the Lord, the authority of the Word of God, and the authority of other faithful leaders. False teaching, however, has at its root and cause an unwillingness to submit to authority. False teachers demand to rule their own lives. They refuse to submit to the Word, to Christ, and make their own personal experiences greater than the truth of Scripture. They commit blasphemy. It says that they heap abuse on celestial beings. False teaching is characterized by blasphemy, speaking profanely about sacred matters. Jude contrasts their behavior with Michael the archangel in verses 9 and 10. He says, but even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Yet these people slander whatever they do not understand. This is the only detail we're given in Scripture about the body of Moses. And we know that God did not want anyone to preserve the body of Moses, because the people would likely idolize it. But here we learn that God gave Michael the responsibility of securing it. Not just from the people, but also the devil wanted it. And just a quick question for you. How many of you guys realized that there was a fight over Moses' body? Did you guys know that? There was a battle over it. The devil wanted it. And maybe those of you who did know, have you ever wondered? And maybe you can ask yourself that now. Why would the devil want the body of Moses? Can you imagine if Moses would have been seen to have seemingly been brought back to life? What the devil could have accomplished through that? I have no idea what his true intentions were, but that's where my mind goes. But there was a battle that took place over the body of Moses between the devil and Michael. How did Michael rebuke the enemy? He said, the Lord rebuke you. Even the archangel Michael wanted to operate under the authority of God. So let me ask you, what's the cause of false teaching? It's a false understanding of truth and sound doctrine. This is why it's so important for you to study your Bible, to be a student of the Word. It's not just to come in here and hear it preached, but to study it and show yourself approved. Why? Acts 20 tells us, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which He bought with His own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. That sounds vaguely familiar, doesn't it? That is what we've been talking about. These false teachers will not come from out there. They will come from inside the church, from within it. People will flock like sheep to hear what these teachers have to say. Why? 2 Timothy gives us the answer for that. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Even those of us who've gone to church our whole lives and studied the Word of God our whole lives will fall victim to this and have fallen victim to this. Galatians 1, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. And then what about those who believe the lies? What's going to happen to them? I'm going to answer that with this. Jesus gives us the answer. Matthew chapter 7. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Now I want to stop and say this before I read the next passage. There will be no one who can claim ignorance. Not one person. That means I didn't know won't make the cut this time, or I thought they were teaching from the scriptures. That's not going to cut it either. Let me read that again. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? This is why it's incredibly dangerous to believe a lie. You say, well, how am I supposed to know if they're teaching me a lie? You should be in the Word of God on a daily basis. And if you were studying the Scriptures and growing closer to Jesus, not only is He going to let you know that Himself, but you might come across a few Scriptures like this one. 1 John 4, 1 through 3. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. False teaching brings about false thinking and living. And the consequences are incredibly damaging. I'm going to have the praise team go ahead and come on out. So the point of the message today is this. Do you know the truth? Do you believe the truth? And are you living the truth? The only way to avoid the dangers of false teaching is to internalize God's truth. Identify false teachers and ignore their dangerous content and lies. Set apart Christ as Lord of your heart, your mind, and your will. Would you do that today as we close in prayer? If you would like to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and be absolutely confident of where you will spend eternity, you can do that today. You can come forward and we can baptize you. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? Dear God, Lord, we thank you so much for this time that we've gathered together here today to not only give me the opportunity to preach the word, but for people to hear the word. And I pray that we don't just hear it, we respond to it. We internalize it, and we do something with what we've heard. There's so much misinformation out there in the world, not only coming from within the church, but everywhere, Lord. And I pray that you would, the Holy Spirit would help us to navigate that and to reach out to those who we know are lost. Don't let them be lost another day. Lord, if there is someone that you have put on someone in this room's heart or someone watching online, I pray that they would go and talk to them because they know that they are being misled. And don't let up. Keep spurring them and bugging them until they do something about it. Same for anyone who's waiting on a decision for themselves. Lord, we love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.